the primary focus of our parsha B'chukosai is the Tochacha. For those who have the opportunity to gaze in the English translation at some of the words of the Klolos that are found within this parsha, it is quite mind-boggling and bone-chilling the powerful curses that will befall a person in B'chukosai Timosu. What exactly did this person do to deserve such terrible punishments? On this, the Torah tells us, "Oz tirtzeh ha'aretz es shabsoy seha, kol yimei hashama v'atem be'eretz oyveichem, oz tishbas ha'aretz v'hirtzas es shabsoy seha." Then the land will be appeased for its sabbaticals during all the years of its desolation. While you are in the land of your enemies, then the land will rest and will appease for its sabbaticals. The Torah is clearly telling us the reason for all of these klolos is because we did not properly observe the Shemitah, the sabbatical year. This seventh year, in which is currently being observed by many, in the year 2008 in Israel, but for those that did not observe the Shemitah year, unfortunately will receive these terrible curses. In fact, Rashi tells us, the Shivim Shana Shel Golus Bavel, that the 70 years between the first Beis HaMikdash, which after being destroyed, we were in exile in Bavel, until the construction of the second Beis HaMikdash, those 70 years was because we did not allow the land to rest on the sabbatical year, the Shemitah. And therefore Hashem says, if you are not going to allow the land to remain fallow, to rest, then I will remove you from the land so that the land will rest. Upon hearing this mitzvah, many would say it's probably one of the most difficult mitzvot in the Torah. After all, an entire year that a person is not allowed to do any work on their farm. Now imagine that you own a farm, and that is your whole occupation. It's something which is extremely difficult to not work and lose so much money. But on this, actually, the Torah in our previous Parsha, Parshas Behar, in reaction and response to the question of the Chisamur Manoichel Bashana Ashvius, what am I going to eat in the seventh year? The Torah promises, V'sivisi es birchasi lochem Bashana Hashishis, that if you wish to keep the seventh year, you do not have to worry at all about your financial losses. For on year number 6, I will do something unbelievable. The Yasa says, Atvua l'shol shashanim. I will give you enough, not just for year 6, not only for the 7th year, but also for the 8th year. The year following the Shemitah, you'll be able to eat and enjoy from this tremendous bumper crop. And you'll not have to worry about a single thing. With that said, one must wonder, why would anyone not observe the Shemitah? It's not that you'll be promised this ultimately sometime in the future in Olam Haba. Hashem is telling you that in year 6 up front, you will get not just 1 year's supply, but enough for 3 years. Which means, by you working the land, you are not going to be gaining anything. Hashem will not give you this bracha of threefold unless you observe the sabbatical, the Shemitah year. Then we must understand, why would anyone not keep the Shemitah? Why would anyone risk the potential of all these terrible curses, this terrible admonition, these klolos? But to better understand the curses, it's necessary to first study and understand the brachos. The very beginning of our parsha, of Im Bichukosai Tilechu, tells us the various rewards that a person will receive upon observing the Shemitah year. And on this, the Torah tells us, V'yachaltem lachmachem losova, that you will eat, and based on your eating of the bread and the food that you have, you'll be satisfied. V'yachaltem lachmachem losova. And on this, Rashi tells us, apparently a miracle, that ochel kima, v'hu misvarech b'meyav. All you need to do is eat a small amount of bread, and miraculously it grows and it's blessed within your stomach. It's very strange that we would have a nes, a miracle such as this. After all, maybe it would be more logical, instead of getting a small amount, let this individual get a tremendous amount. Why is it necessary that ochel kima, that you will have a small amount, and then there afterwards, v'hu misbarach b'meyav, that it will be blessed in your stomach? What's more difficult is that we do not find anywhere in this parsha that if a person adheres to the mitzvos and to the Torah study, it's an omel b'Torah, we do not find anywhere that you will receive sechar u'asad lavo. Nowhere does it mention your reward in the world to come. Only the sechar, the reward, in this world. And why is that? If after all we've been told that the sechar that is in this world, that which we see, the blessings, are totally insignificant to the brachos that we will ultimately receive and the reward that we will benefit from in Olam Haba, why then do we not mention anywhere in Parshas Bechukosai the sechar, the reward, in the future world in Olam Haba? And finally, Rav Reuven Bulka asks a more difficult question. The Talmud teaches us that sechar mitzvah b'hai alma leika, that reward for a mitzvah that you perform in this world, leika, there simply isn't. And in fact, the Gemara tells us a story of a man by the name of Elisha, who later became Acher, who went completely off the derech because he saw a child fulfilling the mitzvah of kibud av aim, in which the Torah says you will have arichas yomim, a length of days. And he listened to his father who said, I want you to get some eggs. And he did so, but before he did, he sent off the mother bird, fulfilling the mitzvah of Kansipor, which also, a person who fulfills that, also the Torah promises arichas yomim. And Elisha noticed this, that this child, in the midst of this mitzvah, slipped and died. And it turned Elisha off, and unfortunately went off the derech. But on this, the Gemara says that if only Elisha realized that schar mitzvah b'hai al maleka, that even the times the Torah mentions arichas yomim, it's not referring to schar in this world, because there isn't schar. You can do every single mitzvah, but that does not necessarily mean that you will see that schar in this world. Rather, it will be saved for you in Olam Haba. And therefore, Rabbi Bulka asks the question, how could it be that our parsha tells us, V'yachaltem lachmachem osava, that you will eat and you will be satiated, and that you will receive this tremendous reward, that by even eating a small amount, you will be satisfied? This does not contradict the idea of schar mitzvah b'hai al maleka. And on this, Rabbi Reuven Bulka explains beautifully that the idea of the fulfillment of our mitzvos, there in fact is not a sechar, there is not a reward in this world. And when it mentions in our parsha, V'yachaltem lachmachem osava, it's not a reward, but rather a cause and effect. You see, when a person is engaged in Torah study and has that sense of fulfillment, and therefore living a life of fulfillment, they no longer need to pursue after the materialistic world and the physical world. They're able to even eat kima, small amounts. But it's not that miraculously, because that person will be satisfied with the basic necessities of this world. They're not going to need to pursue physical desires and material wealth, because those things are things which will not give that individual any satisfaction. Because they already have that sense of fulfillment and satisfaction through the Torah study and the mitzvos that they perform. In fact, we find this in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in which we just concluded this week, that Chizkiyahu, who was the king of Yehuda, the Gemara tells us, although he was a wealthy man, he was a melech, nonetheless, shoy ochel litra yerk besuda v'osik b'tor. He was able to survive on basic foods. All he ate were vegetables. Chizkiyah could have had all the delicacies and the luxuries of life, but to him, he was able to survive on vegetables. We also know Rav Shimon Bar Yochai in Lag BaOmer, which we just celebrated yesterday with a bonfire, commemorating the life and the contributions of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, a man who lived in a cave for 13 years with his son, was able to eat charuvin, boxer or carib, and a stream of water to drink from. And this was not a nace, because to a person like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, a man like Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, it was not necessary to pursue all the physical desires of this world and all the material wealth, because they already had derived their sense of fulfillment from the Torah and its mitzvos. And therefore Rabbi Bulka further explains that when it comes to our parsha, it doesn't mention any sechar at all. It doesn't mention the tremendous reward that we will receive in Olam Haba. But it also is not talking about any reward that we will get in Olam Hazeh. When a person eats, you'll be satiated on even the smallest amounts. This is something which is a cause and effect. However, when it comes to the klalos, the curses in which we find is because a person didn't keep the Shemitah. Why didn't that person keep the Shemitah? The klalos later on in Parshas Kisavo tell us, Tachas asher lo avadatas Hashem Elkecha b'simcha v'tuv leivav. Meirov Kol. They had everything, but it still wasn't enough. And they were not happy. They were not able to find a sense of fulfillment. And therefore, in our klalos in B'chukosai, it tells us, V'chaltem, you can eat, but nonetheless, lotisbo, you'll never be satisfied. You'll not be satiated. Because you have a vacuum. You are lacking something. And as much as you eat and eat, and hope that that is a way that you will feel good about yourself, we know that that is not, in the long term, something which will give a person a sense of fulfillment. Rather, the long-term negative effects will cause that individual not to be happy with themselves. And therefore, for this reason, b'yachaltem v'lo sisbahu. One will not be satiated if their only way to fill that void is the pursuit of the physical world. For we know that a person who has 100 will desire 200. One who has a nice car will want a nicer car. One who has a 30-foot boat will want a 40-foot boat. When it comes to the material world, we're constantly seeking more and more, because the thing that we have in our hands is not really giving us the satisfaction and the sense of self and self-worth and building up our self-esteem. And this is the reason an individual, a person who is not happy, will break the laws of Shemitah. Because you think about it. Imagine someone comes up to you and says, "You do not have to work this year, and I will pay your salary. You don't have to work." So the question is, after you jump up and down and get all excited, is, what do I do with my time? How am I supposed to fill my day? So, an individual who does not derive fulfillment and satisfaction from anything other than their work will have difficulty thinking of what they can possibly do to derive a sense of fulfillment in their life. And such an individual, even though they're farmers who have to wake up early and have so many difficult tasks, they would rather work, even though they will not gain a penny. Even though by not working, they would be compensated. Hashem would have given them that 3-year blessing, but I would not feel good about myself. I wouldn't have a sense of self-worth. And therefore, such a person would even be willing to break the Shemitah, to work on the sabbatical year, because after all, I need to have a sense of self-worth. But we should not hear this and think that we are off the hook. Oh, these klolos, these curses cannot possibly happen to me. After all, the Torah says it's only someone who breaks the sabbatical year. Someone who apparently is a farmer, and a farmer in Israel, and it's the 7th year, it's the Shemitah year, and they decide to work. That's what these klolos are for. They're not for me. After all, I don't know anything about farming. I don't live in Israel, and therefore I don't have to worry about this parsha. Is there one parsha I don't have to worry about? The answer is we have certainly much to worry about. It's true that we're not farmers. And it's true that we're not in Israel. But the message of Shemitah is not only for those that are cultivating and working the land. But the Torah is telling us that when it comes to a person who has an opportunity, has free time, who has the ability to accomplish, what are you going to be doing with that time? Now, even though we do not have 6 years and then the 7th year off, but we do have, as Rashi says in Bahar, that it is considered to be a Shabbos Lashem, 6 days of work, and the 7th day, our Shabbos, is also a day of rest. And we must ask ourselves the same questions as those people who do or do not observe the Shemitah. How do we observe our Shabbos? Is Shabbos an opportunity for us to eat some challah? Is it just a time for us to relax and to sleep? Or is it a time to take a few moments, a few hours, and to learn, and to elevate, and to better ourselves? Chazal tell us that the reason why Perkei Avos is studied on Shabbos in the summer months is because there are so many hours during the day. After all, after Shabbos lunch, you have so many hours. So what are you going to do? Take a nap for 2 hours, for 4 hours, but you still have time. And there's no excuse that a person should not be an Amal B'Torah, should not utilize that time for learning. We just finished one Masechet. We finished Masechet Sanhedrin, and God willing, this afternoon, we're going to be beginning Masechet Megillah. This is an opportunity for you to learn. This is an opportunity for you to grow. And the reason why I am saying this is not for you to be able to receive Sechar. I can guarantee the Sechar, the reward in Olam Haba, in the world to come, is tremendous, is great. But as the Torah is telling us in Bechukosai, that in Bechukosai Teilechu, that if you learn Torah, the sense of fulfillment and enjoyment and geshmak that you will get out of learning Torah will not be for the Sechar L'asim Lavo, but rather for the sense of fulfillment in the here and now.